I finally got a prediction right. Sort of. Plus, one last challenge means one last chance for a star. The RV makes a major comeback. TJ is putting together his Emmy reel. Maybe the most fun-looking checkpoint in challenge finals history, followed by one of the more unpleasant checkpoints in challenge finals history, and a cliffhanger with two contenders' lives in the game hanging in the balance. It's the Challenge All-Stars 4 Episode 11 recap coming up right now. What up, my fellow challenge lovers? Welcome to The Challenge Historian, where we dive deep into all things MTV's The Challenge, past, present, or future, what's happening in the challenge universe. We are here to document it. I am your host, dedicated challenge historian Jacob Hollaball. Thank you so very, very much for being here on this Wednesday, the penultimate Wednesday of Challenge All-Stars 4. There's only one episode left after this. Thankfully, it was a full 12 episodes, like we started to think somewhere around 4 or 5 weeks ago. And while we did get into the final in this episode, there was something before that, and it was all great. It was a great episode. It turns out that, you know, if you make all of the challenges fun and worth watching, then you can have an episode that is purely challenge filled, and it's still great. We're going to cover it all, of course, here in just one moment. Only programming reminder before we go in is that I may have to do a second instant, not so instant these days, but second cast reaction for All-Stars 5. The first one was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. A lot of you watched or listened to it. I really appreciate that and had lots of commentary about it. Definitely appreciate that. But now we do know the final couple of cast members that were either question marks or were not on the list originally, and we have had confirmation of the theme format, if you will, or at least, you know, the starting, because these things always start one way and end up another way. And I'm into that, you know, turned off all knowledge and spoilers from that moment on, but may have to do a second video just to talk those last couple cast members and the confirmed theme and format, because it's just too juicy to not talk about. So be on the lookout for that. Otherwise, All-Stars finale, we will cover it next week, and I will hopefully maybe have an update for you next week on what the off-season will look like, if it'll be an off-season for this podcast along with the show, if we're going to have other content coming your way, all of that good stuff. We'll talk next week. Let's dive into All-Stars 4 Episode 11 here. Thanks as always for being here. Hit that subscribe, follow, rate, review, all the good stuff. Love you so much. Diving in, here we go. Let's start with the brief but still noteworthy opening segment at the house. And before we even get to the house, well, we're in the house for it, but we do get the last week on, which turns into its own fun little scene. The cast themselves are acting, you know, as producers. We think at first it's just four of them on the chairs trying to say last week on together. And then we see like Cars with the clipboard and Lee's got the, you know, the full production. And I think Nicole or someone has, you know, the camera on, the whole thing. It's a very, very fun, fun moment of the episode. It's a theme of this entire episode that I think, depending if everyone else's who watches this reaction is as positive as mine, which I think it will be in this little thing starting. It's always hard this early on the Wednesday morning. You know, there's not too many people chatting about it online quite yet. But I think everyone's opinions will be very similar in that the theme of this episode, where these folks who have been at each other's throats all season long, it's been a semi-nasty season as far as just relationships in the house, and not the most fun being had, seemingly, maybe not the greatest vibes at all times, all of that. You put all those people and you just let them have fun as a group, and you do things that inspire them to have just fun as a group and be a little silly. It makes for great content, and it makes for great All-Stars content. I just love watching these people actually just like goof around and have fun and do silly stuff, like this moment of, you know, you guys get to play producer and director and all that stuff, and we'll, you know, film it from behind, and it's a fun little opening scene, and I love it. And there's a bunch of that throughout this episode. Then as basically everyone gets a little quick, you know, of the 12 people left, the six that are non-star holders plus one or two of the others get like a quick little mention, a quick little comment, little wrap-ups on last week. You know, Adam still pissed at Steve, all of that. One of them, the most consequential, I feel like, of all of them was honestly Steve, who references, they ask him about his knees. They show the, you know, the thing of him jumping again. Ace is like, man, it seemed really high. He's like, yeah, I mean, you know, it was the funny moment of like him, I was going to kind of land like Spider-Man here, do the pose. And instead, I just remembered I was 45. It's all funny. It's all, you know, entertaining, but it's definitely there for a reason. Same as during the elimination when they pointed it out. And I said on this pod last week, they usually point that out for a purpose so that they have something to go back to when this comes up down the line. And I felt like this again was a moment of like, hey, in the finals, this is going to come up and it's probably going to mean maybe just him not doing well in the final or him at some point having to quit during the final. Maybe there's a real injury there. So that's a bummer because I feel like that was fully foreshadowing that. I'm glad Steve has gotten so much room to shine this season. And so if that is the case, we've at least gotten a ton of Steve and it's been fantastic and I love him to death. Then the final one we get of a similar vein, although this one has a much quicker payoff. We'll just talk about the payoff here too, even though it happens at the challenge, is Flora. We get the little quick update from Flora of, I don't know how I'm still here. You know, my body's all beat up. I'm hurt everywhere. My body's all beat up. And they then do the montage and, you know, hats off to the editors for trying, for doing the best they could, for, you know, trying to not just hang Flora out to dry here. They really, really could have edited this in a much different way than they did. They went as peaceful and kind as they could for Flora here, because during this moment when she says, you know, oh, my body's all beat up, they're like, okay, let's pull, you know, her, you know, get running into stuff, falling, whatever, like taking hard hits during the dailies, you know, where did she get beat up? Where did she get bruised? How difficult has this been? And the best thing they had, because I believe they went for like, again, the nice route. What is the best we have? They showed her sitting down in the go-kart during the one, the, you know, the dual two type of style go-kart little thing. It was her sitting down was one spot. And then they showed her jumping off of the platform, the normal platform into the lake. They showed her being yanked off the trivia platform into the lake. So I guess that one has actually like, oh yeah, that's a tough fall. It might've got a bruise on the side from that. But then the other two examples were like, she sat in a go-kart and she jumped normal feet first off of a not that high platform into a lake. That's the best we got to show you that Flora's beat up. Yeah, you know, I've enjoyed the random commentary from Peanut Gallery Flora all season. If you've been listening to the pod, you know, I've very much enjoyed the random just here's Flora confessional, just talking shit or giving her opinion about this thing that is, you know, she's there. Remember, she's there. I thought they were funny. I've really, really enjoyed them. But by the end of this, with, you know, basically not attempting the challenge last week, and then this, I'm all beat up and so sore from doing all this crazy stuff we've had to do, and there's really not a lot to point to. Maybe it's time for All Stars to do the most moderate physical qualification to be brought back. Like, hey, can you send us a video? Can you run 1 mile in 15 minutes? Basically a speed walk, but we just need to know that you're willing to go run, you know, walk, run a mile. And can you, I don't know. I don't even know what the requirements would be, but just some small, just like, are you willing to put in a little physical effort and some little tiny bar to clear here? Because I think it may be time, especially when we're talking about, you know, let's invite the people. Because I want you to invite all the folks from the earliest days of the show. But this ends up, you know, not working out so well. Cause then we get to the challenge and she quits. She quits before the final daily. She waits till they line up, which I have to imagine was maybe a producer in the ear of like, this will be more dramatic or more interesting. So like put all the gear on, line up, let TJ say on your marks, get set. And then be like, wait, never mind. I'm not going to do it. Definitely seemed to be production maybe getting in her ear of how to go about doing it, but she quits. And they notably do not show TJ for 1 second of actual footage of TJ's response in that moment, in the moment where they're lined up and she says, I'm done, I'm out of here. The only thing we get from TJ is a like narration filmed much different time and place into a you know, overhead narration of him just saying, well, you know how I feel about quitters, but whatever, we'll move on. Like, it's just a quick little comment. I'm dying to know what he said in the moment. I'm dying to know of him being like, well, what were you doing here the whole time? Were you, what did you, didn't really try it a bunch of these, and now you're not even going to like attempt the final one? Like, just run down, like, yeah, you'll get last, but like, just run down there and like, kind of, you know, do a little bit of it while the rest of them do the whole thing. Dying to know what TJ said in that moment. Then we might as well talk about, you know, move right to that actual final daily. Flora, you know, ditches out. So we've got five people running it. And I was thrilled because I was actually right about something for, I feel like, the first time all season, although it's one of the things that I kind of said multiple times throughout the season. So I feel really good, even though, yes, last week I had not come back around to this idea. I had formulated a much different idea in my head for predictions last week. But throughout the season, I thought, hey, add two extra stars at the end of this. Eight people in a final is just much more interesting than six. It makes a big difference to me. And I thought it made a big difference to the show. And then I also had thrown in there, I think I had thrown in there at different times of like, and when you do it, let the six people be safe. You know, don't make this like, and now all these stars are going to change hands at the last minute. That would have been silly. So I loved feeling like I semi got something right for once. But I also loved that this was what I feel like I would have done and feel like the best outcome of like, yeah, these six stars, and there is kind of an end point. You're safe. Two more up for grabs for the remaining people. It probably doesn't work as well a second time, so it's not like they can redo this exactly as they did again in the future when, if people then are expecting, but maybe they can play off that expectation and not offer it in the future if they're doing a Star Skulls type twist again. I don't know, but it worked out really, really well, and I have to say, generally speaking, when we do a full season recap, we'll really get into like how well did the star twist work, but the end of it here worked really well for me, and I liked the design and what they ultimately came up with to do to get our eight qualifiers. They do, the six people get to do the challenge, the other six get to hang out in the RV. Love, love, love it. This was, you know, same thing I'm talking with the open. Absolute, you know, just them six people having fun. I like that it's set up where it's, you know, like the challenge is designed in a way that it kind of goes around this setup so they can sit at the RV and watch the whole thing go down and comment on it. And they brought them drinks and they brought them some snacks and they got them in the shade and the whole thing. Everything's fantastic. And it was the right group of people of like, Veronica's going to eat that up. Kara is going to eat that up. Leroy is going to eat that up. Ace is going to find a way to be entertaining and interesting during that. Steve, the same. And so that portion of this was fantastic. And I loved every aspect of it. The, you know, just the difference it makes to do that, which does take some setup and some forethought and all of that. But just that versus, and you six can just go stand on the dais and watch from over there and comment from over there. You know, it makes such a big difference. And so those little touches really, really, you know, escalate the episode into a very, very high tier. It's definitely a choice then as for what the six actually, well, five, because Flora doesn't do it, actually have to do here, what the daily challenge is. It's definitely a choice to make it full-blown athletic-based challenge, no puzzle aspect at all, no real strategy aspect at all. This is purely do a run, untie something, do a paddle, do a second paddle, do a dig. Like, pure physical athleticism, that's it. That's all that the winner is going to be based on this one. The final star holders are going to be based on. And you're giving out two extra spots in the final. And I think it is smart to go ahead and give those last two spots, give the two people with the best chance of doing well in a final the best odds of getting into that final. So I was fine that this was basically like, okay, Laurel's getting in. Laurel versus Avery. You know, I love Avery, but you're not going to beat Laurel in a competition like this. It's too much strength, too much experience, too much confidence in one-on-one do or die situation. Laurel's going to walk in this. And then, you know, on the other side, Derek and Adam, like a real good showdown then of like, which one of you can, you know, compete in the pure athleticism side of things a little bit better. We want to bring those two people into the final. I think that was smart on their part, and was well planned from the beginning of like, that's who the last people in will get to be. So yeah, Laurel does it. she was a shoe-in the whole time to me. Derek lived up to his performance all season. Him and At versus Adam was really, really fun. And, you know, it really did come down to, like, Derek, that running speed that, again, we were kind of blown away by because I felt like I'd never gotten the chance to see it before. Blown away by in the earlier daily challenge this season, running around the arena playing musical chairs. That little bit of speed, you know, got him that 20-second-ish head start, or not head start, lead at the opening. And he kind of just maintained that 20 to 30 seconds ahead of Adam the whole way through. And that ended up getting him the win. Adam and Ryan, both good seasons. I'm very excited to see Adam come back and continue. I feel like this kind of reopened the story arc, the storylines for Adam. And so I'm very excited to see him continue on All-Stars 5. And Ryan, fantastic cast member, love the guy to death. I do feel like this was a bit more of like the end of a story arc when we got the like doing a challenge sober, being there with one of your best friends, competing well, making it right to the end. It was a bummer for the second time. Now he goes home, you know, on the last this essentially elimination before the final. I know this was a daily challenge purge, but it's the same situation as Fresh Meat 2 going out and then everyone else literally leaving to go to the final. So I don't know if there's a lot more in his story arc to tell, but loved having him here, loved having Adam here, but was pretty happy, honestly, with if we're getting two more people in, I kind of wanted it to be Derek and Laurel of the group that we had to pick from. We're back to the house then. We've got eight people. They get their final little dinner. They get up the next morning, and it's hard to tell if they were in the know that they were going to get picked up soon and they were told to make it seem like a big surprise, or if they were surprised. Because, like, I don't know, the final usually starts the day after the final elimination, and that daily challenge took place, like, during the middle of the day before, and they had the whole dinner and everything. So, like, yeah, I don't think they should be surprised that the next morning, next late morning, midday, TJ's like, it's time to do this thing. We're not taking multiple days off. Like, we're near the end. We're right here. We're going to keep this schedule rolling. But he picks him up in the Winnebago. Let's I don't know what constitutes a Winnebago versus an RV versus a mobile home versus any other of that, you know, variety of vehicle. But I wish, and I'm guilty of it here in this podcast, I already said RV multiple times, but I mean, the Winnebago is the true old school touch point of the show from Road Rules, from the first couple seasons of the challenge. So even if I don't know the definition of a Winnebago versus an RV, let's call it a Winnie. Let's call it the Challenge Winnie. It's so much more fun. Either way, it works as the callback that it is and that it obviously is. And TJ picking them up in it, driving them out in it was maybe the best moment in All-Stars history, honestly. It was so fun. It was so enjoyable. I love that TJ is actually putting the, like, you know, like, there's no other secret driver or whatever. Like, you're really doing this, you know, and you guys are going to chat the whole time. We're going to have a couple cameras in there, have some conversations. It's open, clear roads. It's not like you're in traffic or anything here, at least until maybe at the very end. There might have been a little bit again. Everything about it was great. The kind of kumbaya nature, the fun little comments back and forth, the like, be nice to your sister between TJ, Sandokar, and Laurel. It's just everything about this was so fantastic, so wonderful. And what a job by TJ. This moment throughout this episode, throughout this season, he's been asked to do a decent bit more, like level up yet again of like, we need you to be even more interactive. Like, you are a character on these All-Star seasons as much as each cast member is, and he's knocking it out of the park, and it's wonderful to see. They get to the actual final, and let's just talk like the setup of the final, and then we'll do our final segment on the actual two checkpoints they do. I like the setup of bunch of checkpoints on the first day, advantage in the first, elimination in the second. I assume they're going to, you know, keep that cadence potentially one more time, and then maybe it turns into just, you know, maybe the next episode, because they say it's going to go from 8 to 4 for day two. And so I doubt they're going to do, you know, 8 checkpoints on day one to get 4 people out. If it went advantage to limb, advantage to limb, advantage to limb, advantage to limb. So I'm thinking there'll be one more advantage and then a limb one in a row. So 4 checkpoints left, you know, for the rest of day one. And then day two would be one kind of final long-ish sprint to the finish type of situation between the 4 people. And I think it's really fun. I think so far it's very much the two that we've seen have been built for, quote, anyone to win, which, you know, they've been saying all season long. And it felt like there really were. I think I've commented a few times, my like prediction for the final was one of them was that like it really will be that. It won't be, hey, go run 20 miles and like whoever's winning in that basically wins the whole thing. Like it really will be sectioned out. And, you know, just not a time, but just how do you do in each one dictates maybe starting position for the next one. And we're going to get to the end where it's one last thing, a la Vendettas, of like the four of you left, just do this puzzle or something. So Veronica, if you're still here, you can win this. Anyone still here could win this. And so far, they've lived up to that through two checkpoints. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with the rest, because there's been no running, no athletics, two checkpoints in. And yeah, it sets up that scenario where you get to the final four and have, you know, have anyone actually have a chance to win. Or it also sets up the scenario where if you get to that final four and you do finally say like, and now you run up the hill, or now carry these cinder blocks, there's 20 of them, and you carry them across the field one at a time and put them in order based off names of eliminated or a puzzle or something. And suddenly, if you have the wrong group of four left and it's like Kara, Veronica, Steve, and Ace are left, and it's like, okay, Kara's just going to smoke everyone. It won't be that interesting. Or Leroy's left with those three or whatever. It could be, or it could be an unbelievable battle if you get Leroy, Laurel, and Kara, specifically those three together in, and like, now we're going to let you do the athletic stuff and here you go. Let's see who's the best here between you three. Speaking of which, it does really, I mean, they hit the Kara Laurel thing hard in this episode. And by they, I do mean production and everyone, but I mostly mean Kara Maria, because she on her own could not have built this up more of like, this is me versus Laurel. This is for all the marbles. This is for who's the best, who's better between us. This is all that matters. And the editing sleuth in me in this moment is going to come out here in conspiracy theory style wise. So maybe skip ahead 30 seconds if you don't want to hear editing based theories, but like those confessionals are probably happening afterwards. And I always kind of acted without really wanting to, I'm like kind of reading between the lines in those of like, how good of an actor are you? Are you able to hide the fact that you lost this elimination and now have to talk about it in confessional afterwards? Are you able to hide the fact that you won this elimination? Or in this case, or that you beat her or didn't beat her in a final? It's tough to not come out of it being like, I don't know, she seemed like she wanted to talk about it a lot. And if any of those are happening after the final actually has occurred, and not like the morning before they take them to leave, they got them all to do their final confessionals, which I don't think they did, because then, you know, they're all done up for their confessionals and then they're done down for when they're laying around the house when TJ comes, which they could do. But I don't know. I know they're leading her on in those confessionals, but yeah, she builds it up in a big, big way and is definitely the one putting it out there. Like, it's me versus Laurel for all the marbles here. Laurel does a little of it. The rest of the cast and continues to acknowledge like those two are favorites to win this along with Kara. But yeah, the Kara versus Laurel storyline is definitely, you know, producers were thrilled. Editors were thrilled. Buna Murray was thrilled this whole time that we got here and we are going to get this. And, you know, we get to the end of the episode and we don't know if we're going to get the final episode of it, but we'll talk about that later. Because for right now, we got to talk about the first two checkpoints. They do the checkpoints, they do one for an advantage, they do a second to eliminate the first person of the final. First one is called Shooting Star, and it is maybe the most fun looking checkpoint in the history of challenge finals, dailies, eliminations, or otherwise. This is so fun. And like it adds to it that they have this like beautiful, perfect day to be doing this and, you know, everything else. But strapped at the top of a car, here's a paintball gun. They're going to go around this course. They're going to drift around turns. They're going to do donuts. They're going to do all this crazy, wild stuff. One lap around this course, bunch of targets along the way. Shoot as many of the targets with the paintball gun as you can. It looks so unbelievably fun. I'm just so envious. This is this is one of those challenges that all the people say, we come back just to do this wild, crazy shit. This is the epitome of that. It just looks unbelievable. It's so cool. It's fun to watch. Even though we have no idea who's hitting what, they really have to like dictate and tell us and show us those slow motion replays that might not even actually be the people themselves shooting them. But of like, no, Leroy did hit a bunch here. We'll show you. Kara did miss a bunch here. We'll show you. It doesn't matter that we don't have any idea who's doing what, how it's actually going. It looks sweet. They're having a great time. I'm having a great time watching it. I'd pay lots of money to get to try to do it. A plus from me. And I was also A plus thrilled they don't get to watch each other. It makes the order totally fair. It's more fun. It is more fun, and you get more interesting content out of the group of them sitting, not getting to watch, and trying to talk about what do you think's happening out there. That is way more interesting than the content we get out of them getting to watch and try to strategize over on the side and everything else. So really, really love that. Leroy gets the win. Great start for the People's Champ. And it's in the moment where during his run, opens the finals with Leroy going first. And in that moment, I was reminded, yeah, what? I want this guy to win. I want this guy to win so bad. I've always wanted him to win. The whole fan base wants him to win. He's the People's Champ. He's the highest, I think, the highest Q rating in the history of the show. Of just everyone loves that guy. No one cares. Any negative thing you could possibly try to find to say, no one cares. We love Leroy. He's the absolute best. And in that moment, I was like, yeah, God, I knew, I should have known we were going to get here and Leroy was going to be in the final and I was going to be all in on like, please let this man win. Let's do it, Leroy. I was stoked when he wins the first one, just thrilled. And then as far as the other performances during this one, the only one that stood out was like, Kara, you got lucky that this was an advantage, not an elimination one, because we don't know who did the worst. But they definitely make it seem like Kara did the worst, and she kind of makes it seem like she did the worst. And so a tough start for her, but luckily it ultimately doesn't matter because as she says, you know, there's only one person getting an advantage here out of eight of us, and I only have to not get last in the next one to continue. So not really any sweat off my back. And yeah, huge decision point by production as far as like, What types of contests are we going to make be for an advantage? What types of contests are we going to make be for an elimination? Those are obviously huge decisions. And on this first one, Kara is the beneficiary of who? One of the ones that I was dog shit at, and it ultimately doesn't matter. Then we get the second one, Electric Star. And this provided the chance for some amazing flashback footage. The moment of Laurel asking Kara, haven't you done something like this before? And they flash back to three different moments. Well, two moments, three things within them. The first one was her and Cook in the blindfolded, like little obstacle course thing they had to go through on that rival season, where they, if you bumped into the wrong, you know, outside edge, you did get shocked and whatever. So that was a real thing. They had been shocked before. Kara had been shocked before. And then they also flashed to, I believe in that same season, the fake out that they did where they brought them into an elimination, and I forget who had maybe gone home or quit or got hurt or whatever, but they made Kara, Cook, and I think it was Jasmine and someone, I think it was Jasmine and maybe John A would have been her rival, where they have like the electric chair and they're like, we're going to strap you to that. And you know, it's going to be horrifying. And then they're like, we're just kidding. We're not actually going to do that. But we got also the moment of Kara being like, see those car batteries over there. I strap those to my nipples sometimes. It's like, what? One of the better Kara moments ever. And yeah, they also had though, actually have done a trivia where the one member, I believe it was, I want to say it was Janelle and Casey on, was that maybe Inferno 3, that team trivia. If you got the question wrong, your own team member got zapped in the chair until one of them quit, basically, or one of you got enough right, or somehow, I forget exactly how they did it. But Janelle and Casey, if I'm remembering correctly, were the two that actually did have to get zapped. So people have been electrocuted before on this show is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, you've got to wonder, what are the standards? What, there's some standards out there. I'm sure there's some bylaws out there of like, hey, if you're going to electrocute people on a game show, here's the allowed voltage. Here's the not allowed voltage. Here's that line. Would love to know. Love to know what that line is. Don't want to actually physically feel what the top end of that line is. And no, because don't feel like getting zapped in any level of electricity. But I bet it's kind of low. You know, not that it wouldn't suck. But if I'm sitting in those chairs waiting to go, I am over and over telling myself in my head, they're not allowed to like hurt you. So it can't be that bad. It'll be fine. It'll suck for 12 seconds and just do it. Be done with it. And I definitely would have been going the ace strategy for sure. Going first on this one was, I think, actually turns into a bit of a disadvantage, because you do get some sense of how fast did other people go based on like how much are they hitting a little bit, and people coming back and like not being able to help themselves talking about what the experience was like. So Leroy goes first, and yes, his screaming afterward was a decent ploy, although I think he could have executed it way better. It was pretty fake and unrealistic, and they all, as they said, right in the room of like, he's just doing it to mess with us. Make it a little more convincing of a like, I actually was trying to do this and got shocked and it took a long time sort of thing. But still a decent strategy. But ultimately, he thinks, I've got this advantage. I'm going to try to not get shocked. I'm going to go a little bit of slow. And the strategy definitely ends up being the tough it out, go fast, don't care about being shocked. That Ace, Steve, and Veronica go with. And it seems like for a minute there, it's like, fuck, Leroy and Kara are at the bottom. Like, everyone else is starting to just like buck up and do it and go fast and not care about getting shocked. Leroy and Kara, one of them's about to be out of here, until it turns into the last two, where Derek and Laurel take the I'm a little nervous about getting shocked, I'll go slow approach. Back up 1 second, Veronica. Veronica is the queen of the we'll just tough it out. I mean, Ace, you know, really, really toughs it out and goes extraordinarily fast, but is because like, hey, I've been shocked by, you know, out on the farm plenty of times. This won't be too horrible. Veronica instead is like, no, I was shocked as a child for fun. We don't got to talk about it. This is no problem. She gets shocked a bunch, is not fazed, does not flinch, does not make a noise, confidently walks out afterwards. Everyone's like, what were you, did you get shocked? Yeah. Did it hurt? No. Are you what's going on here? Veronica's life is always fascinating. And just her being totally unbothered when she walks out is why she still gets a pass for being on the show, even if you're like, hey, that last daily challenge, you actively just didn't do it. Like, what the hell? She still gets on the show because of stuff like this. She still can deliver in these moments and be like, what is going on? This was amazing. Long live Queen V. Derek and Laurel, though, they do go slow. They don't get shocked. It's going to cost one of them. We don't know which one. We're left at the end of the episode on the cliffhanger. And we'll save my prediction for who I think goes home. I am confident in that prediction, but we'll save it for the end of the pod when we actually do get to all of the predictions. Awards now. We'll run through these quick. Best quote, Steve, Laurel is just a machine. I believe she was genetically created in a lab in 2342 to purposely go back in time and dominate challenges, end quote. Great nominee. Second one is in the Winnebago, as I will lovingly call it. There's a bunch of funny things said back and forth. The, you know, be nice to your sister line was great. But the someone says, you know, I'm hungry. I wish I had a snack. We will have plenty of time to eat in the final. And then TJ responds with, you might regret saying that. Loved, loved, loved that. So I'm going to give the quote of the week to Steve, but really enjoyed all of the banter in the Winnebago. Best moment, the open with the cast as production crew. Derek getting the star, winning and getting to, you know, remind us of the story from All Stars 3 and the, you know, the tragedy that he went through in his life, losing his sister and getting to have that nice moment of, you know, she's here with me and I'm really, really want to do, really willing to do well. And, you know, kind of last season didn't go the way I thought, trying to overcome the grief of that situation and kind of have this triumph there. Loved that moment for Derek. TJ driving in the final, again, was amazing, everything about it. Veronica, the did it hurt? No. And just being unbothered is fantastic. And then one other one, not a nominee, but it was a moment that I didn't get to talk about. And I'm going to talk about here, but it's the opposite of a nominee. It's the makes me angry moment of the episode. Nicole fake crying for attention. I mean, real crying first in telling us that she's basically a big wimp and cries for her mommy anytime. It doesn't, you know, I applaud her vulnerability in admitting all of that to us. And like, that's fine and great. But it's not the persona that we normally get. And so it just makes me feel a little like one of these personas is a little bit contrived or fake or something. And I would have no problem with the like, that sucked. And I'm very upset that I had to go through it and I'm crying, whatever. Fantastic. Great. If it's real. But the part where you then go sob on Laurel's shoulder and say in confessional, I'm no longer crying on purpose. It's now fake because I want Laurel to feel bad for me and comfort me because I like having her comfort me. That's fucked up and not cool. And when she looks up to the camera and smiles as Laurel is holding her and patting her, is just gross. And I don't like any bit of it. So not cool. Another deduction for Nicole in the ongoing Laurel Nicole. What the hell is going on with that relationship debate? Best moment of the episode, though. It's really tough to pick, honestly, but I'm going to go with TJ driving to the final. I think it might be the best moment in All-Stars history. Just the most encapsulation of like everything I want out of All-Stars. Just the nostalgia of being in the RV, TJ playing a major role, a bunch of, you know, references to stories and relationships of the past, and still some juicy competition in the, you know, in the mirror here, looking forward of like getting to preview, like, no, what if we did get to see Laurel and Kara go at it in a final again? Like everything about it was perfect and kind of exactly what I'm wanting from All Stars. So that's the best moment, best strategy. Ace, Steve, and Veronica all for going with the suffer through it route. And I guess even Nicole, but I don't think she meant to go with the suffer through it route, but ended up kind of doing that anyway. So everyone that went that route, it was the best strategy during that. MVP of the episode, Kara gets some points, Derek gets some points, but I'm giving it to TJ Lavin. Get him an Emmy nomination finally, please. I understand the arguments of the past. Like, you know, he isn't asked to do nearly as much as a host as a lot of the other hosts that are routinely nominated for the award do. But for this season, he is much more the face of the show this season than ever before. And can we just get my man a nomination? He deserves it. Finally, let's talk the last power ranking of the season and some predictions for the finale. I've got Leroy at the top, okay? I'm looking at Leroy as the slight favorite here over Cara Maria. And then I've got Laurel and Derek in a tie for third. Whichever one remains at the start of next episode, I think, will be the third place power ranked position and the third person that I think has a chance to win. I've got a big gap after those four: Steve, Nicole, Ace, and Veronica. I don't see it. I shouldn't say I don't see it. I could honestly, for the first time all season, I was like, if they really stick to this, anyone can win this final. Even like Veronica could win if there's a way to get to the final stage and without it mattering that, you know, you're going to run the 10-mile uphill a lot slower than everyone else. If there's a way to get to the final stage and that final stage is a puzzle, Veronica's in the ballgame too. But I just think the odds for Steve, Nicole, Ace, and Veronica, significantly lower, very low single-digit percentage. Leroy, Kara, and whoever remains of Laurel and Derek, I think, are the three favorites to take this home. Again, assuming at some point athletics will play a role here, and those four just are a bit above the other four. And predictions-wise, I think Derek is going home. I think Laurel is safe. I think Derek went the slowest. I think we got a lot of Derek, you know, obviously there was going to be a lot because he, you know, gets the triumph, gets the win of the daily challenge, gets the final star, gets in. Of course, he was going to be prominent because of that. But I think we got a little extra. We kind of felt like we almost got the, like, he did it. Great. Let's really talk about it. Let's kind of do your exit speech almost about it, you know, at the end of the daily challenge. And so I'm thinking, and just they built up the Kara Laurel stuff so much that it doesn't feel like it's going to end right here. And the next episode's going to open with Kara being like, I beat her. Oh, too bad. And Laurel being like, I, you know, just wasn't quite focused enough, whatever. I think we're getting Kara Laurel the whole way through. I think Derek is going home, unfortunately. And then I do think the final four for day two will be Kara, Leroy, Laurel, and Ace. I think those four, you know, Ace doesn't lose his way there, and Kara, Laurel, and Leroy win their way in there, and that we get Steve at some point, if they're asked to do the physical, the knee thing kind of flares up. Veronica just eliminated here at some point, and obviously Derek, you know, going home, and then Nicole, maybe there's a puzzle, maybe there's a great Kara, Nicole, one-on-one showdown in there somehow. I don't know. But I think the Final Four is going to be Kara, Leroy, Laurel, and Ace. And I think the final bit will be basically like a mini final daily challenge style. Like, hey, all right, now day two, it's just the morning. It's like a, you know, going to probably be an hour, 60 to 90 minute long. Think of it like a mini challenge, mini final daily challenge. There's three or four checkpoints and segments. You got to do a physical runny type of thing and then do a little puzzle, a physical runny type of thing and then a puzzle, a physical runny thing and then a puzzle. First one done of the four of you wins. And, you know, that's all there is to it. I think that's going to be what the second day is. And if that is the case, then I think it's Kara versus Laurel versus Leroy as the spoiler. And I think it's pretty amazing and epic. Like, if those three are in that last four, I think we're in for an amazing show and just an amazing, amazing winner and just an amazing storyline to get to watch those three all compete for a win. That would matter a lot for Challenge Legacy purposes. It would be epic. And my prediction would be that Leroy wins and that Laurel beats Kara for second. And that Ace finishes and gets to split the 50K that they brought up midway through the season. And then they've mentioned here, it's whoever finishes the final gets to split 50K. I guess that's just finishes probably of the final four. So these first four eliminated don't get any of that. But yeah, I think Leroy is going to win. I'm going to celebrate. We all should celebrate. It's going to be the best. I'm rooting for it to happen for sure at this point. I'm rooting for Kara to beat Laurel, but I think Laurel's going to beat Kara for second place, and that that's going to be the end of that story. And yeah, that's what I think is going to happen, but who knows? You could tell me a lot of different scenarios take place and I would believe almost any of them. So very much looking forward to seeing how this plays out. Very much looking forward to see at least hopefully one of those three. Again, for storyline purposes, for legacy purposes, one of those three lift the trophy, or Veronica. It would be pretty amazing if Veronica won. That would be wild. That would be something. So we'll see you next week. We'll be back to cover it all. You may hear from me again between now and then if we do a second All-Stars 5 cast reaction / more theme format reaction may be coming your way here later this week, this weekend sometime. But yeah, thanks as always. Subscribe, follow, rate, review, all that good stuff. And we will talk again next week. Peace.